Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's hottest podcast network.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Plumbing the Death Star. I'm Joel.
I'm also Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And we are joined by very special guest, Michael Hing.
Hello, friends! It's good to be back on this podcast. I think the last time I did this was probably about 5 years ago, maybe?
That
was a Rooster Teeth convention?
Correct.
Yeah, correct.
You ended up talking about jerking off animals at the
zoo. I did, mostly, yes. If you had to jerk off an animal at the zoo.
Yeah. We were not invited back, and I don't know why.
5 years to get me back on this podcast. Anyway, guys, I've had some thoughts about jerking off lemurs, and I'm here.
And today, we are going to ask the important questions like, and look, this is very important. This is a big one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Hamburglar, villain, or anti-hero? Question mark.
Falls into this interesting category for me.
Jackson, okay? You shut your fucking mouth for a second, because I'm going to tell the audience something, and you are a slimy fucking weasel, man.
Yes.
So,
okay.
People, and this is a fucking glimpse behind the curtain, and I hate to do this in front of our special guest, Michael Hing, but this, I will consider a professional payback for when, in front of 200 people at a Rooster Teeth convention, Michael Hing, we're talking about Donkey Kong money or some shit, and Michael Hing's like, "Nah, do you reckon you could make animals at the zoo come?" And we were like, "Well, all right." Anyway,
with enough time and protective gear, maybe.
I guess I could, Michael Hing. Yes.
In hindsight, Rooster Teeth probably deserved that kind of thing at their conventions. Because it turns out some of them were cunts. Anyway. When we are planning Plumbing the Death Star, we don't really plan it. It's just if we ever, whilst we're not recording, think of a question that could be funny or fun, we put it in like a Google document. Mm. Jackson is a piece of shit, and much like that Flo Rida episode you all fucking loved, occasionally puts in stupid questions like, is the Hamburglar a villain or an anti-hero? Me and Zamet look at that, we're like, fuck you, Jackson, and then we continue. When we get a guest on, we show them this.
Today... Yeah. and I guess to kind of reiterate this, there's one question that's now, for some reason, Jack keeps putting it forward every single time now.
We've got a new Flo Rida question,
That we're still not quite sure what to do with it. It's what are the implications of the 80s calling and wanting their shirt back?
That's a great topic.
I just don't know what to do with it.
What do you even mean,
the 80s
Jackson?
Have called it, they want your shirt back, and what the hell does that mean? Should we give it to them?
Anyway, today's basically like fucking Jackson's birthday, because Michael Hing has picked a question that Jackson's basically put in our document as like a fucking landmine, and today we're stepping on it. So,
becoming associated with Jackson it isn't as big a faux pas as asking which gorillas you'd like to jerk off at the zoo. Probably not, but it's in the ballpark, I would say.
It's up there, yeah.
Yeah, I think the jerking off gorillas at the zoo thing, again, in the privacy of a studio, we wouldn't even bat an eyelid at it in front of 200 people that are already barely listening to us.
I thought it definitely got
people to stop and watch us.
I thought the show went well, from memory.
I think so, it did. Yeah.
Oh, no, it did. It did go well. It was, because we were in like a massive convention.
We're in like an airport hangar.
Yeah.
And the stage had seats in front of it, but it was also a convention, so people were just wandering around, and then, it would be great to, from someone's point of view, where they were like wandering around being like, just not paying attention to what's going on.
Going through some Naruto magazines, and over the loudspeaker they hear, I reckon I could jerk off at least one lion.
Just a man dressed as a sexy Optimus Prime looking up at the stage being like, what are they talking about?
Why, I never.
Gracious.
So, Hamburglar.
Let's talk burglar, all right, baby?
So we all know who the Hamburglar is, yeah? The yes. corporate stooge, the mascot, mm-hmm. the criminal of Ronald McDonald's cronies, I guess?
Mm-hmm. He falls into this interesting category for me, the Hamburglar, that Nelson Muntz and Barney from Arthur and Joel Dusha also fall into. Where Go he's on. Obviously, like, a bully. He's a criminal. He's a bad guy. But for some reason, he is always hanging out with the protagonists of the story. Binky Barnes is always hanging out with Arthur from the show Arthur. Nelson Muntz hangs out with Bart all the time, even though he's bullying him all the time. And the Hamburglar, similarly, even though he's stealing hamburgers, is always hanging out with Ronald McDonald, Birdie, and Grimace.
Grimace, yeah.
And
so wait, so Jackson. you think he's a bully? That's interesting. Why do you think he's a bully?
Well, I mean, I assume that Ronald McDonald does not want the Hamburglar stolen. And the Hamburglar steals the hamburgers.
But he's so I think just visually, when you look at Hamburglar v. Ronald McDonald in that situation, like Ronald McDonald is a grown adult. And the Hamburglar is probably a child, right? Do we think
he's
a child?
A kid. I thought he was just a squat man.
Oh, okay.
I mean, maybe he's a kid. That's an interesting thing to explore. Then can you really blame him for stealing hamburgers? He doesn't know right or wrong.
Yeah, he's just hungry.
He's just a little boy.
I always imagined I mean, glossing over the whole, you clearly think you're your own protagonist, Jackson, based on what you said about me.
It's a duo protagonist thing. It's nice.
No one would watch your show.
Aw.
I think the Hamburglar's meant to be like a teenager, right? Because I remember in like the early 90s, there was a lot of like Hamburglar skateboarding.
Okay.
Situations.
Oh, yes. I do remember him skateboarding.
I also vaguely remember his voice being like...
Doesn't he just say robble, robble? Rubble, 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 rubble. Isn't that what he said?
Isn't that Grimace? Rubble,
I rubble, think that, rubble, I think you're thinking of the Gobbledock, aren't you? The
rubble, 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 rubble. Mm. No, I swear that's the Hamburglar.
Does he say rubble, rubble?
He loves to say rubble, well, rubble.
Well, I want to put forward that I think that the Hamburglar is kind of experiencing something akin to like a Benjamin Buttoning.
Benjamin
Buttoning, if you
Benjamin
will.
Benjamin Buttoning.
Yeah. Because he starts off originally as a very old man with very grey hair, like long, scraggly grey hair, rather large, I think he's like kind of troll-like features. But then he becomes to be a bit more of a teenager, where he's kind of got like that Dennis the Menace kind of like red hair and like that cheeky grin. And he's, a squat little fellow. But then recently he's then gone up again and is now a very sexy, like, late 20-year-old.
Really? So he's re-aged.
Yeah.
So that's something that doesn't happen in Benjamin Button.
That's what, it's Benjamin. It's more like, buttoning Benjamin.
Maybe in Benjamin Button 2, he re-ages.
Yeah.
Oh my God,
he's back from the dead.
It's like a yo-yo effect. Kind of like a jellyfish. He kind of like, old, young,
I think it's important for us to consider the Hamburglar in his physical context, right? Mm.
Okay.
So not only is he a mascot for the McDonald's Corporation, he also lives in McDonald Land, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm.
Which is and obviously we can go through all the McDonald Land characters in the McDonald Land universe, but I will say that many of them, for example, Mayor McCheese, mm-hmm. are mm-hmm. Have actual hamburgers as their heads, right? I think the Hamburglar has some sort of weird, fetishy kind of thing involved, or potentially we're talking like a full on serial killer here.
Like if you in our world, in regular land, it would be like the Hedburglar.
Exactly. If I went over to, and I'm picking a name at random here, Jackson's house, and you had a collection of shrunken human heads, in your drawers. I would think you're a serial killer. I feel like I wouldn't necessarily think of you as an anti-hero or a villain so much as a complete psycho. Just picking a name at random there.
Of course.
I don't know if this is a controversial statement, but I feel like labeling a serial killer also a villain, just something I would do.
Okay.
Thank God.
That's fair. But again, you're right. It is kind of like going into, say, Mayor McCheese has a very big hamburger head. Mm-hmm. And so granted, yes, going and stealing hamburgers is kind of like stealing mini heads. However, in McDonald Land, they eat hamburgers.
Yeah. So Pepper cheese knows the deal.
So what is it? Are the hamburgers kind of like, say, the infant style or like an egg of what will eventually grow into be a hamburger, like a larval
Mayor McCheese? Is a,
yeah.
Okay.
And
okay.
So and so basically, because there are so many hamburgers, this may be a thing where all these like Mayor McCheese kind of characters will probably kind of like overpopulate. So maybe the hamburger is doing a good thing, so where he's basically like stealing these eggs, kind of like how
a wolf at Yellowstone. Okay.
Kind of like how we, you know, to cull the chicken populations, we go in and take their eggs.
Is that why we take the eggs of the chickens?
Yeah. Isn't it?
Lest they take over the planet?
I thought that was why.
Well, here's an interesting thing that you made me think of this, Hank.
Mm-hmm.
Ronald McDonald
yep.
and the Hamburglar are the only human beings in McDonaldland.
Mm.
And that's assuming that Ronald McDonald is a human being, which I'm not convinced of. He's an 8-foot-tall clown monster, so I don't know. But the Hamburglar is very clearly just a human being. So maybe it's like out of necessity. It's the only food he can get is McBurgers in McDonaldland. And they're like, you're the Hamburglar. And he's like, I'm just trying to fucking survive, okay? And if I'm going to dress up like a sexy little bandit to do it, so be it.
Sexy little bandit. That's an interesting turn of phrase you've used there.
I think being a bandit is already sexy. Yeah. So I think we can just get that out of the way. Okay. And if you're a bandit for jewels and purses or you're a bandit for Hamburglars, I don't think there's much difference there.
Is it ever discovered what he does with the hamburgers after he steals them? Because we assume he eats them. But I don't think I've ever seen the Hamburglar eat a burger. I've seen him go to McDonald's. Mm-hmm. I've seen him steal burgers. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I've ever seen him put one in his mouth.
Yeah. He puts him in like a sack, like. Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I've seen him fill his sack, certainly, with hamburgers. Mm. But I wonder if he is, I mean, here is how he could be an anti-hero. If he was, for example, going to an orphanage and then giving and then offloading the burgers to the children there or something. I feel like
a
that's...
Robin Hood for greasy meat.
Because it doesn't look like he's eating all those hamburgers. Like he isn't exactly like say a quite rotund man.
No, he's a trim. He keeps a trim figure. He doesn't.
Yeah, he needs to, for all the sneaking around, he's got quite an
inflated head.
He's rosy cheeks. He's a cherub.
Yeah.
And initially, he was called the Lone Jogger, right?
Really?
His original moniker was the Lone Jogger.
That sounds like the name of either a serial killer or the person killed by a serial killer.
Yes.
Fucked up.
Look, we all have interesting beginnings.
Wait, was he called the Lone Jogger when he was an old man?
Yeah. And what? He can't if you look at images of the Lone Jogger, he kind of looks maybe like a pervert. Okay. However,
because the Lone Jogger is an old man, that isn't serial killer or being murdered territory. That's like, oh no, the Lone Jogger showed me his dick and balls.
Yeah, because he's wearing a cape and he's often like splaying it out as if he were to be a flasher. However, a Lone Jogger, meaning that he does a lot of jogging, which means he needs to consume a lot of calories because he's burning a lot of calories. So maybe he's just like pounding those hamburgers left, right, and center. to maintain his beautiful physique.
I think we've all probably done this, but I am on the McDonald's fandom wiki.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of information here about the Hamburglar. None of it really points towards anti-hero, but maybe something that Jackson alluded to earlier that I think is very important to note is that he is a close friend of Ronald McDonald, Grimace, and Birdie.
Yeah.
Even though he has always attempted, in brackets, and failed, to hoard all the hamburgers in McDonaldland for himself. He has always been looked upon as a valued member of the McDonaldland community. What?
maybe it's a conspiracy in McDonaldland. And so basically, well, when things are corrupt, I look at Mayor McCheese and I don't necessarily think of him as, say, like someone who isn't a corrupt politician.
Mayor McCheese does not look like he's got a handle on things.
So I'm wondering if there maybe if they're setting, like, say, okay, what if we, almost like a false flag situation where we hire, say, the Hamburglar as some kind of like bad actor, as it were, to kind of like terrorize the community at large to kind of keep them, like, you know, fearful. comfortable and complacent so that whatever policies that Mayor McCheese can kind of put through to help him and, say, Ronald McDonald and his cronies be wealthy and rich. So everyone is kind of fearful of the Hamburglar, where they're not realizing that Ronald McDonald is, you know,
for the McDonald Land societal ill. Yeah. Like they can be like, you get better.
What type of policies do you think that a mayor could put through in a town that is being hassled by one guy that's stealing burgers?
Yeah. Sorry, guys. I thought I was on Plotting the Death Star. I didn't realize I was on Noam Chomsky's podcast about McDonald Land. But if we are manufacturing consent here, can I interject and suggest that I think the people, you got to think about who else lives in McDonald Land, right? Great now, obviously, there's the Fry Kids. There's Grimace, formerly known as Evil Grimace. There's Birdie, etc. And then I think the regular people around there are more burger people. For example, Officer Big Mac, etc. I think the burger person is the sort of standard person in McDonald Land. And so the policy of maintaining fear, this boogeyman, as it were, this burger man, the Hamburglar, is because they know that they're in league with McDonald's, the corporation, that's selling their heads to humans in our world. Do you see?
Exactly. And again, if you look at like the other people in like Ronald McDonald's, like kind of cronies, you know, you've got Birdie, a bird, and what does Bird love to eat? Chippies. And you got the Fry guys there. I mean, they would be constantly in fear, but because Birdie's in a higher position, no one questions it. There's a lot of things that are sus here, is all I'm saying.
So you think that all of these are, so Birdie, the Hamburglar, Grimace, Ronald McDonald himself, maybe, Mayor McCheese's enforcers.
Yeah, or I would say perhaps maybe that Ronald McDonald is kind of like the head of the mafia. Like in this kind of situation, and
the power behind the throne,
exactly. Yeah. Because if you look at kind of like Grimace, otherwise known as Evil Grimace, or formerly known, and then the Hamburglar, both of them are villains. Yeah. Both of them were apparently very villain, and then they reformed.
But yeah, Grimace is reformed, but the Hamburglar isn't. You know,
it just seems a bit sus. You know,
it is interesting to note that Mayor McCheese was actually brought down by a lawsuit in 1977.
Good.
What? What's this?
Yeah.
What happened to him?
Did they storm the Capitol? Was it a stop the steal situation?
So he was sued into oblivion.
By what? Who? His constituent? Who? Who took down Mayor McCheese?
Actually, well, I mean, look, I hate to get this narrative even more convoluted, but it was actually H.R. Puffin stuff.
What?
The plot thickens. Excuse me?
So this is an out of McDonald Land. This is an outside of McDonald Land lawsuit that occurred.
Yes, that prevented McDonald's from ever using Mayor McCheese again.
So what? So I still don't know. H.R. Puffin stuff is the mayor of the living island. Is it a battle of big puppet mayors? What happened?
So the similarities between the McDonald Land mayor and the H.R. Puffin stuff characters was noted to be not a coincidence, and therefore a cease and desist and a $100,000 fine was paid. Yeah.
What are the similarities? Mayor McCheese has a burger for a head. H.R. Puffin stuff is there's no burger. I feel like these are
no. He's like a big dragon. What the hell?
I would say that one similarity is they both look fucked.
Yeah. I mean, I guess.
Oh, H.R. Puffin stuff. They copyrighted all absolutely cooked imagery.
Things for kids that will actually make your kids be like, "What the fuck?" and talk about like 20 years later after they've been like, "Why did people let me watch that?"
So who's the mayor now?
Well,
is
probably
it
Ronald
in McDonald's. Ronald.
No, yeah. I think they've gone full libertarian and converted to direct democracy. You know, they've all got apps on their phones allowing them to in McDonald's, and they only use gold and crypto. That's it.
And now a quick word from our sponsors.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Also, have you noticed that your shirts and or bags are often lacking in pins from your good friends at Sans Pants Radio? Well, that's easily remedied by heading to our merch store on sanspantsradio.com and grabbing one of our pins. We have the Sans Pants Radio logo, an Always Bet on Piss D20, and Jackson's face that is a replica of his legally binding signature. Sold separately or as a set of three, check them out at our merch store over at sanspantsradio.com.
Can I posit this as an alternate theory, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That McDonald's land is either heaven or hell, but only for Ronald McDonald and the Hamburglar, who are human beings who died in our world, and this is their precious afterlife. Because the Hamburglar, stealing hamburgers, maybe he's doing it to survive. Maybe there's no other food here in McDonald's land. Or maybe it's not a heaven or hell situation. Maybe it's more like a Narnia situation. Like he was a real boy who fell into this world. And now the only way to get food is to presumably kill all of the little hamburger people to eat them. And maybe the reason he looks like that is that that's what a diet of only hamburgers does to a person.
It enlarges the head.
Yeah, it's made him puffy and pink because he's eaten so many hamburgers.
You know what's kind of funny is that the hamburger, Burglar, obviously, we think of him as having as being a cartoon character.
Yeah.
But there's like an actor who played him and stuff, and also a guy called Frank Delfino, who played him. I'm just looking at Frank Delfino's Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
So he was a professional violinist, and also began this in one of his first acting gigs. Right, so obviously he went on to great things, such as he was in the movie Planet of the Apes, he was in the Brady Bunch, he was in a bunch of stuff, including McDonald Land as the Hamburglar. He began his professional acting career appearing as the character Johnny, selling cigarettes for Philip Morris.
Another corporate stooge.
Oh my God.
Literally, they were like, hey, who can we get that'll be really good at influencing the buying behavior of children?
Yeah,
let's get the cigarette salesman. Let's get him on board.
makes sense.
Another thing I've learned about the Hamburglar is that so the stripes on it. So we look at the Hamburglar with his striped shirt, right? We think he's just busted out of prison.
He's a convict of sorts. Yeah.
Not so.
What?
When he steals hamburgers in an old retro McDonald's cartoon, he's wearing all black. He's the man in black. He's Johnny Cash is the man in black. And Ronald McDonald...
That's who Johnny Cash was singing about.
He was singing about the Hamburglar. And Ronald McDonald grabs a strip of his clothes and, like, spins him and tears off strips of his black clothing to reveal white clothing underneath. Which is pretty symbolic of an anti-hero. He's all darkness on the outside, but he's got a pure good inside. The Hamburglar. I just saw Dusha go to heaven.
I think you're definitely onto something. And it even comes back to his old moniker, the Lone Jogger, which is, again, trying to do the whole, connection there to the Lone Ranger. So, again, and he's also, nowadays he's wearing that little, mask, whatever you call it, thing where it just goes over your eyes.
Kind of a Zorro, like Zorro mask, I would say.
Yeah.
And so, again, I think if the Hamburglar isn't an anti-hero, he definitely wants to be one.
Yes.
Like he's dressing up like one. He's got a cape. Who has capes? Do villains have capes? Maybe.
Well, some do.
I guess for me, when we talk about anti-heroes, though, in 2021 or in the 21st century, an anti-hero is really only an anti-hero when they've got their own premium cable drama series set around them. Think, obviously Sopranos, Breaking Bad, Set the Wire, that kind of thing. Can you imagine a sort of Hamburglar style, an HBO style Hamburglar biopic, maybe three seasons, 25 episodes, you know, an hour each kind of situation,
yeah,
delving into his life.
I absolutely can.
100%. Yeah, I think definitely.
It would be called either Ham, just Ham, or just Burglar.
Yeah.
Either one. They wouldn't do the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Oh no, maybe they would.
All right. Well, I mean, I don't want to stray too far from the remit of the podcast. But who would you cast as the titular Hamburglar in this role? Okay, so you got to remember, he's got to be charming, obviously, right? Yeah. He's a villain on the run. He's got to have, I think, kind of a bit of an unhinged edge. Obviously, he's got to be able to do. Yeah. Potentially, he's either got to be able to rubble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or and he's also got to be able to play both a young man and also a very aged man.
Yeah, he's got to pull out Benjamin Butner.
Yeah, he's got to have versatility.
He's got to be able to pull that off. Mm-hmm. I can see Zamet is diving deep from, like, I don't know, just your expression. It's like I can picture you've got Minority Report up play style, all of these different actors to pick the perfect Hamburglar. I don't know. It's tough to pick a perfect Hamburglar because, one, no human being has as puffy a head as the Hamburglar does.
True.
And it's just really hard to find somebody to be able to match
I mean, you could...
To keep true to
I
the Hamburglar,
think,
yeah.
I think you could do get Danny DeVito to do it if it was a comedy. Mm-hmm. If you were making the Hamburglar children's movie kind of thing, I think Danny DeVito would be a great option for that. But I think...
Perfect.
But if you want, like, but I think what you're looking for is sort of gravitas, really.
Yes. Yes. I think there's a lot of drama to the character of Hamburglar. There's untapped drama there.
Well, you know. Yeah, my suggestion, I think, is one half of this comedy duo has already appeared in prestige HBO drama, with Odenkirk. So why not take the other half of Mr. Show? David Cross.
Okay.
David Cross is in a kind of more dramatic role.
Yeah.
Doing the Hamburglar. I think
he's called
doing the Hamburglar, maybe.
He's got an inherent sadness and patheticness within him.
Yeah. Yes. He does have he does have kind of a tragic heart to him, doesn't he?
Yeah. Are you talking David Cross or the Hamburglar?
Oh, David Cross.
And the Hamburglar.
A bit of both,
it's
to be honest.
Both of them, really. Both of them have a sadness at their core, I think. I think that's fair to say.
Mm.
Let's talk about the Hamburglar as a... Cause, and I don't know, maybe this makes him an anti-hero.
Mm-hmm.
But do we think that the Hamburglar is designed, maybe by the McDonald's Corporation, to suggest scarcity of burgers? For us, the consumer of McDonald's, do you know what I mean? Are we meant to be like, I need more burgers because the Hamburglar is intent on stealing them, so I better eat my hamburgers quickly before this little guy robbles up to the table and steals a hamburger?
Absolutely.
Do you think that's what the implication of the Hamburglar is?
They're trying really hard to get people to buy a second burger after inhaling their first burger in that short window where you feel like you can eat anything. You know, like when you start a meal and if you eat really quickly, you're like, oh, I ate a regular meal that would usually fill me up, but I'm still hungry.
One McDonald's cheeseburger, you're like, I reckon I can go another cheeseburger, but you couldn't. You couldn't. But you think you could.
Just to fill Michael Hingen, who doesn't know this story, and maybe to any of our listeners that also don't know this story, when Plumbing the Death Star last did a UK tour, after a live show, Jackson had probably one or two drinks and started proudly declaring that he could eat 10 cheeseburgers quite easily.
Mm-hmm.
So we then went to a McDonald's and everyone started... like there was no actual wages.
No, but like, put your money where your mouth is, buy 10 cheeseburgers.
Yeah. And how many did you get through, Jackson?
I got through, I think, 7?
Six and a half.
6.5? Which sounds pathetic. I know. But it was very, very difficult to do.
I feel like, observing this podcast from afar, it does strike me that, Jackson, your life is a series of self-imposed mishaps that in any other context, like if you weren't a content creator, like a podcaster and a, you know, everything else, if you didn't have this job, I don't know what you could possibly do. I honestly, I try to imagine you in a professional workplace. Like, can you imagine being having a job at a bank or whatever and being like, hey, boss, I can eat 10 cheeseburgers. And your boss being like, okay, fine, go do the forms.
Don't tell me about it. I don't care.
The only job I can really kind of imagine Jack doing is one which he had, which was working at a cafe, but only if he turned that cafe into a sitcom, which he did do. There are so many kind of stories about there that I think there was like, what, 5 people working in there. 3 of them believed that the place was haunted. One of them was Jackson.
A radio fellow for once.
Anyway, what I'm saying is I think Joel, I think you're doing wonderful work keeping him off the streets.
Thank you. I just went on like a bit of a mind palace in terms of like, again, you got me thinking about a hamburger kind of series.
Oh, sure.
I just went to kind of what that would be, what that would look like. Uh-huh. And I did just kind of take a lot of inspiration from Goodfellas, because I think that's the kind of themes that you really want to explore with the hamburger.
All my life I wanted to rubble.
And I know you're thinking of particular actors, and again, you're like David Cross, all those kind of things, great ideas. But I really think you kind of got to pull from... I've got 3 choices. Christopher Maloney, I think, would be really good as a hamburger. Or Vincent D'Onofrio, because, again, he's got a lovely range.
Vincent D'Onofrio. He played Kingpin, right?
Exactly. He played Kingpin.
He could nail a hamburger.
Or another Vinny D, Vin Diesel.
Oh, yes. Interesting.
Yeah. Well. So the I think those,
you
those
said,
three?
The moment you said Goodfellas, I immediately went to Joe Pesci. And thought,
oh, Joe Pesci being... Oh, my God. How many people are perfect for the hamburger?
Or you do something kind of like The Imagination of Dr. Panassium or whatever that movie was called, where you have several different actors playing the same thing.
I think
Joe Pesci would do great as the lone jogger.
Yes. Okay. Like that Bob Dylan biopic where everyone played different. Okay. But then if you're doing that, then, I mean, you can get any psycho to play the hamburger at that point, you know?
Any absolute freak will do. Yeah.
I do like this. This Joe Pesci idea has also made me reconsider that in my head canon now, and that's where we're at with the Hamburglar is in fact Italian. Maybe sounds like Mario.
I mean, yes.
Have we heard his voice? I don't know.
He just says rubble.
Rubble.
He's not intelligible even in the slightest. Rubble.
There we go.
Rubble. Maybe rubble's like a gabagool. Rubble. Maybe it's the Sopranos.
Maybe.
Woke up this morning, got myself a hash brown.
But again, you've got that little crime family that clearly Ronald is the one in charge. Mm-hmm. And then again, you've got the police officer that's in their back pocket. You've got the mayor in their back pocket. You know, Grimace is clearly the enforcer. And then you've got the fall guy.
Can I give you a dark take on Rubble? This is my dark take on what I think you're saying. I think for a past transgression, Ronald McDonald cut out his tongue. And he's saying Ronald. But he's got no tongue.
It's sort of a Hodor situation.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He's so fucked up by getting his tongue cut out that all he can say is Ronald, but it sounds to us like Robble. That's what I believe happened.
Yeah, because if you take into consideration...
You're massive family, you suffer the consequences. Snip.
Yeah, because if you look into, like, say, Ronald McDonald, yes, his outward appearance is very, very, like, you know, I'm a lovable man, look at me, I'm donating money to charity, I'm, you know, helping all these kind of, like, you know, wayward kids. Again, it could be a front because he is a monster and perhaps he is kind of like, yeah, you're right, being that kind of, like, happily to cut off a man's tongue because he wronged him.
You know, you can purchase a McDonald's Hamburglar Pop vinyl Funko Pop. For $20.
Bargain.
And yeah, I guess I don't know a lot about Funko Pops. I thought they would have cost much less than $20. I thought that would have been like $5 each. $20. And it makes me wonder if this is a premium one, or is $20 just a standard amount for a Funko Pop?
I have no idea.
I believe that $20 is the regular retail price, but I could be wrong.
Joel, you've routed yourself as the biggest loser of the group because you know the price of Funko step on.
Please stayed out of it.
It was a trap, but you walked right into it.
I will. I'll just quickly reverse this trap. It's simply because I am the only member of this podcast group that still exists within a regular society. You've all got stupid jobs where I work at a place that requires me to interact directly with the public. The scum and the filth that buy Funko Pops. Yes.
Okay. So yeah. I think if by and large, I don't think we can say that Hamburglar is a villain. We just can't.
No.
Because he's good friends with Ronald McDonald, exactly. And he's kind of part of that gang.
Feels like he's part of a system that might be villainous.
Yeah. And I think if the Hamburglar is either, he's again, the corporate stooge, he's playing his role, he's being that lightning rod that everyone is kind of having to, like, focus on so that they don't see the real problems going on. Like, they don't necessarily have to focus on the scandal that brought down Mayor McCheese when they got someone stealing hamburgers.
Yeah, exactly.
If you look at, like, things now, apparently, like, McDonaldland is never really seen in kind of advertisements anymore. It's kind of just been abandoned. A lot of the things now is just kind of like in passing. You don't really necessarily see it. It's now mostly just focusing on Ronald McDonald alone, helping out his charity or going to a restaurant owned by himself. So again, I think it's he's a lightning rod at least, or he's part of the system and he's trying to bring it down from the inside. Like, who perhaps gave HR Puff and Stuff the idea to take down Man of Cheese? Was it the Hamburglar? I don't know the answer, but I'm just positing it.
The Hamburglar as well is an interesting idea as a corporate mascot because there aren't many corporate mascots out there whose role it is, who have a role that is to steal the product they're advertising.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, the Gobble Doc, we briefly mentioned the Gobble Doc before, but most, I guess what I'm saying is, because the theft of the product, it suggests an intense desire for the product. It you know, it proves the product to be desirable.
Yeah.
But it also I had not thought about stealing a hamburger. This has now introduced the idea to me.
You know, in some strange way, they're so desirable that the Hamburglar wants to steal them.
Mm.
And then, maybe you're like, well,
maybe I should rob a McDonald's. Should we, after this podcast, stop the record and go rob a McDonald's?
Go rob a McDonald's. Rob a McDonald's.
As a thought experiment, how would one go about stealing a hamburger? Or it's like in the hamburger's case, stealing a sack full of hamburgers.
Ooh.
Easy. It seems hard. Go to a McDonald's car park.
Yep.
Put your car in drive. Put a brick on the accelerator.
Uh-huh.
Get out of the car.
Uh-huh.
The car slams into all the other cars in the car park. Everyone's distracted. They're like, my fucking car. Oh, shit. You go into the McDonald's as everyone goes out to check on their cars. They're half-eaten hamburgers on the table. That's your time to shine. You stick, you eat them, the chippies, sips from their
the
drinks.
The willingness with which you debase yourself in a fantasy which you are entirely in control of. You could have... In this scenario, again, you're only limited by your imagination. You could have hired a helicopter in your mind. You could have flown in. You could have done a sort of a cat burglar heist. You could have Ocean's 11 this whole thing. But no, your suggestion is to cause property damage to people who don't even work at McDonald's, just to patrons, and then just sneak in and eat their half-eaten food. Jackson, come on, what is going on?
I wrecked my own car, dude. I have no getaway car now. I'm running away on foot.
Now you've got to slowly walk. You're going to be filled with burgers, and you've got to run away from McDonald's. You're going to be hobbling away filled with fried meat. You're going to feel unwell.
I'm queasy.
Also, Jackson.
Catch the bus on.
Depending on the McDonald's you've robbed here, the staff car park might be different, so the people are still just standing behind the counter watching you.
Just devour half-eaten meals.
Don't tell anyone. And I gotta be so quick as well. It's not gonna be good.
And we know limit is 6.5 cheeseburgers. So I don't know how much you're gonna eat.
Well, no, those are 6.5 fresh cheeseburgers. We don't know what his limit of pre-eaten cheeseburgers is.
Exactly. Pre-moistened by other people's mouths. Maybe I'll be quicker. Oh,
that has to be one of the worst sentences that's ever been uttered.
I could eat more burgers if they've been wet with other people's mouths.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, when professional hot dog eaters dip their like hot dog in water. It's a similar kind of
situation. It's just like taking the hot dog situation. And dipping it in someone else's mouth and then pulling it out.
What's that guy's name? Kobayashi or whatever? He's just sitting there with Jackson being like,
thank you. Thank you. Make me so quick.
Spit it into my mouth.
That's how I'd rob a McDonald's. So, and the whole time I'd be saying, the Hamburglar told me to do this. The Hamburglar told me to do this.
In between bites, as you're like slowing down to the end, we're like, the Hamburglar told me to do this.
Oh, God.
I think Jackson's onto something, though. I won't say he's onto a lot. He's onto something because the security of the McDonald's is that you have to, you don't get the burger unless you've paid for the burger. The system they've got in place, I mean, say what you will about them as a corporation, they're very efficient in terms of getting your money. I think you'd have to, the only other way I could think about doing it is getting an inside job situation. You know what I mean? And then having someone behind the counter and then sneaking one out that way. Or or posing as a worker. Because I imagine it's quite a free-flowing workforce, you know? People don't stay at McDonald's for long. You work managers might not work weekends or whatever. You turn up, you go, I'm the new fry cook or whatever. Can you show me how to make a burger? They teach you how to make a burger. You eat the burger, then you leave. You know, and all you have to pay.
So this is for one burger.
I just think if they were teaching me to make hamburgers and I was putting them into a sack, I think it might be suspicious.
Just sliding, you know, they slide them down to the front counter, but you're just sliding them into a sack instead. And then you just grab that rubble, and you're out of there. But it's also so funny to do a heist for one burger, and people are like, I don't think that guy worked here. What did he do? he came here for one hamburger. That was it.
Yeah, no jury in the world to convict me.
I've got a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Michael Hing, onto a winner, I think, except that's only for one burger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it is worth noting that McDonald's make their food relatively fresh to order.
Mm-hmm.
So if you hit up a McDonald's with a gun, you probably get three burgers.
Sure, yeah.
That's true. That's true. I, for some reason, imagined you at the drive-thru douche, which is...
Yes. Well, no. That's actually good.
You're, okay.
So, my plan. Mm-hmm. Book a ride share of some kind.
Oh, yeah.
Go through the McDonald's drive-thru with the Uber driver or Didi driver or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Order a ridiculous amount of food. I'm talking like 30 to 40 burgers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You need to find a mix where they're like, oh, okay, it could be for like a party or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where it's like stupidly big, but not to the point where they're like, we're not making that. That's a joke order.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So maybe 20 burgers.
20 burgers. All right, fair enough.
You, and this is an important part. You pay pass with your card. Preferably, if you sit in the back, you hand it to the Uber driver who pay passes it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay, so just so you know, what you're describing right now is just ordering food. That's what you're describing.
Yeah,
you're
this way.
It's just this way. You're just getting lunch.
Pay pass is important because then there is the transaction period. It doesn't come out of your bank account straight away.
Mm-hmm.
While that's happening, you wait maybe 10 to 15 minutes and then you call up your bank.
Mm-hmm.
And report your card as stolen.
Okay.
And then you say, I noticed a weird transaction on my card for $200 at McDonald's. That's an insane amount of food.
Oh,
the bank's like, you reversed that charge. And then when they check the security camera, it's not your car. Your car isn't there, so it clearly wasn't you.
That's true.
And sure, maybe an innocent man goes to jail.
Yeah, you have gotten your Didi driver, your Uber driver in massive amounts of trouble because people will be like, well, this person must have stolen your car,
but
dude.
I don't think you would get the Didi driver in trouble. I think the police would turn up to their house and be like, hey, we want to talk to you about $200 at the McDonald's. And they were like, oh, okay. Yeah, I guess that's my car. We were there then. And then he'd be like, hey, let me check the app. Oh, I guess the person who booked it was Neil Dusha. I have his contact details and his photo here on the app.
And now, Dusha, you're living the end of Goodfellas. You're coming into your house, you're stressing because you know that the police are coming for you now. You're like, did I get away with it? Did I get away with it? They knock on your door. You're going to jail, buddy. You're going to jail.
I think that what I would do is make sure that I got the lift from not my house to not my house, so my mm-hmm. home address isn't listed.
Mm-hmm. It's maybe still part of your app, to... dude. It's still, yeah, it's still, you're still, your app. Still your profile,
yeah,
man.
I think you're going to have an ID or something to sign up for the app.
Yeah, maybe the only way
this ends, Joel, is with you sweating, right, in your house, empty McDonald's bags everywhere, you mm-hmm. loading a gun as the police begin to knock at the door, and it's Douche's last stand. That's where we're at right now. Yeah. That's how this ends.
You're flushing hamburgers down the toilet, looking at the doors the cops are banging on. Shitting yourself.
I still think that with a slight change, I can get away with it.
You think you can defraud McDonald's?
My card, if rather than saying my card's been stolen, and this requires slightly more effort, mm-hmm. I say that my phone's been stolen.
Okay. Now I'm on board. Okay. So what we need now is a series of like sort of film or television prosthetics to put it on your face. We're talking wigs, a giant nose. I mean, maybe we make your head widened as though you were the hamburger.
Ah, yeah.
And well, then there's an idea, and then you can like, you know, be picked up by the local news.
Yeah,
and you can be like, I can't, kind of been me. I'm not that grotesque looking man.
My head's not a basketball.
Yeah,
my head is a regular man size. I am regular man Joel Dusha, not fucking freak hamburglar.
Okay, so then what you need to do is you need to be able to steal more hamburgers than mm-hmm. it would cost. I mean, I imagine, because we want this to be a net gain for you, you need to be able to steal more the value of the hamburgers has to outweigh the value of all the prosthetics you'd be putting on.
Yeah.
So we're talking like probably $500 worth of hamburgers now.
Plus, I'm going to need a burner phone because I'm saying that my phone's lost.
All right, so I guess, Jackson, do you think you could eat $700 worth of McDonald's then?
Depends on what he bought, I guess. And if I'm allowed to throw up in between, then...
the new Macca's burger that's like gold leaf. They got a Macca's patty, covered it in gold leaf, lettuce, gold leaf, pickles. Well, you better believe they're gold leaf.
Yeah.
Is gold poisoning real? Because then I don't know how.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if McDonald's had one $700 item on the menu that was like that that French bird they dip in brandy and set on fire, an autolux or whatever?
The one you got to eat with, like, the cloth covering your face.
You cover your face to hide your shame or whatever when you eat it.
McDonald's shame cloth. It's got,
it's like, all right, I'll have two Happy Meals and I guess an auto.
That'd be great.
Jackson, you should probably wear that coat of shame when you're eating other people's food off their table.
So getting back to the Hamburglar, is he an anti-hero or a villain? Mm. Has anyone ever heard about the story of Frederick the Great of Prussia?
No,
Did he unify Germany or whatever? Was that guy?
He might have, but look, at that point, I don't know. I'm more talking about the potato famine, or like at least the famine of around about 1770 something, where a lot of peasants were being like, "We're gonna like, there's a famine coming out," and then Frederick was like,
"Famine dropping, yeah."
Well, we need to make sure that people eat potatoes. At this point in time, potatoes were shit. They called them the devil's apples. No one wanted them. There's a quote which is, they have no smell nor taste, not even the dogs will eat them, and you want us to eat them? Fuck you. I might have been paraphrasing the last bit.
Sure. Uh-huh.
So Frederick was like, okay, I understand this, but I'm not going to be deterred by this. So what he's going to do is going to plant all these potato fields and be like, right, now what we're going to do is we're going to have guards. So we're going to like... put people there so that they're guarding them to kind of make the impression that these crops are valuable.
Oh,
so if they so if they steal them, they think it's worth something, and then they'll eat them, and then the famine will be safe.
Sure.
And so he kind of like put like a lot of guards on, and was like, "Hey, by the way, guards, if you catch someone, like act like, oh, where did they go? You know, basically act the buffoon, so that of course these crops would get stolen.
Oh.
And so they did, and it was a very smart thing.
It's a marketing ploy.
Yeah.
Great marketing ploy so that the people didn't die from starvation and they just supped on the devil's apple.
Wow. Okay.
I will posit to you that the Hamburglar is in a similar situation. Hamburgers, are they really that good?
Not,
are they really that tasty? I don't know.
I like
but
it.
The fact that a man is stealing not just one hamburger but many hamburger may mean, that at least to my subconscious brain, that hamburger is good. Therefore, I should steal or at least buy to eat.
Wow. Yeah.
That is a That is great. And it's also compelling. To build on that as like this mm-hmm. being a very genius move by Mayor McCheese.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's actually another Hamburglar called Captain Crook.
Mm-hmm.
Who okay. used to only steal fillet of fish, or fillet of fish, if yeah. you will. So clearly they were like, not only do we need one person to steal burgers, but a second person to be stealing a very specific type of burger, so that, you know, both seem desirable.
So, okay, so it's
with
a-
this new theory, I think it's starting to look more and more like Hamburglar villain or anti-hero. It's more Hamburglar villain or buffoon.
Yeah.
I don't know about buffoon. I just
think corporate stooge. Yeah, I think he's a corporate stooge. I think he, and obviously, you know, and I don't know why this wasn't evident to us from the start, he is in the pocket of the McDonald's corporation. So he could never be acting against the company's interests.
Yeah,
the
who signs the paychecks? That's exactly. Ronald McDonald's signature on your paychecks, motherfucker. Mm-hmm. That's where you get your money.
Follow the money.
You know? He's in the pocket of Big McDonald's, and he always has been.
Mm-hmm.
He's not good or bad.
Have we blown this case wide open? Is it now Ronald McDonald sitting in his house, like frantically loading a shotgun, sweating through his clown makeup?
Yeah, they're coming for me any day now.
They're going to put a bullet in Ronald McDonald,
And so once again, it's just, again, I think I was right on the money there with Hamburglar was put up as to everyone to be like, ah, yes, we should fear that person.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone, all the problems are basically the Hamburglar's fault when they really were not. And everyone is just eating delicious, the devil's burger, as it were.
Oh,
and
I think you're right.
It's a very, it's a happy, complacent population, and they don't ask questions.
They don't, and good on them.
And there's fluoride in the burgers. There's fluoride in the burgers. It's been put there by 5G. Look, I know all about this shit.
I've done my own research. Look, I've done my own research.
I just want to, who owns the newspapers in McDonald's Land? That's what exactly. That's what I want to know.
You're asking the right questions, dude. You're asking the right questions.
Who is spotting? And I think whoever owns the newspapers, I think we know who is at least paying for the advertising.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And like when you've got a mayor who's right-hand man is the head of the police, who is also the judge, jury, and presumably executioner.
Yeah,
I mean, does this go further, even further back? Because like, the whole—it's called like McDonald Land, right?
Mm. Yeah,
is it just old money?
Yeah, well, Ronald McDonald's—his tentacles surely are deep within the.
Is it just the McDonald fortune from way back when? And this was like, you know, his founder, like they found this particular like, village that made it to a town or whatever. Mm. And it's just that kind of like old money that is just seeping through the pores of McDonald Land. And no one can do anything about it because the corruption runs deep.
I think it's rotten to the core, you know? Mm. I think I think the Hamburglar is just, he's one of many systemic problems with McDonald's Land.
Can I offer just one parting image to you guys? Because I feel like we're sort of wrapping up. But just Officer Big Mac slowly covering his body cam as he beats Jackson with his giant police stick.
Don't Jackson, steal other people's hamburgers.
Jackson, weak with hitting a baton, tries to make like one half-hearted attempt to just bite the Big Mac that's leaning over him.
I've
eaten too much.
I'm so full. If I hadn't eaten so many half-eaten burgers, I'd be eating you right now. I'm in more intestinal pain than I am from the baton.
Well, when it comes down to it, I think we've blown this case wide open.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Villain, anti-hero. No,
he is neither.
Corporate stooge.
Corporate stooge.
Yeah, follow the money. Follow the fucking money.
There it is.
And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've also been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
And I'm Michael Hing. And I was on here to plug my TV show that I forgot to mention.
Oh my God, Michael Hing, you've got a TV show. Tell us all about it right now.
Maybe there'll be
more Plumbing the Death Star after this, so people should definitely listen just to check.
If you want, you might be familiar with a show on SBS called Letters and Numbers. It's from sort of 10 years ago. It's sort of a puzzle game show. I feel like your listeners may be into puzzles. You know, they're sort of nerd adjacent, pop culture adjacent.
Everyone loves puzzles.
Yeah. You might be familiar in the UK, it's called Countdown, but we can't call it Countdown in Australia because there's already another show called Countdown. Anyway, Letters and Numbers, it's coming back. It's now in a comedy format. I'm hosting it. Loads of great guests and comedians are on. It's going to be on Saturday nights from October onwards. And I would usually be like, hey, who's going to be home on a Saturday night able to watch television? Nobody. Well, luckily, once again, lockdown has come to our to the rescue of broadcast television. And if you want to watch it, that'd be great. Anyway, it's called Celebrity Letters and Numbers, and it starts in October at 8:30 Saturday nights on SBS.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it's real fun. It's real, real fun. We've shot about 20-something eps, two seasons of it already.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's all done. And I was really worried it was going to be fucking terrible because everything I do is fucking awful. And I hate everything. But I've watched some early episodes, and I don't hate it. And that's the biggest compliment, the biggest selling point is I don't fucking hate it.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So if I was, say, like an international listener, like not in Australia, can I also watch this?
Yeah.
And if so, how?
What you can do is just Google 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown and watch a better version of our show. No. you'll be able to, we'll put it up on YouTube and stuff. It'll be out there. Yeah. But yeah, it's, I guess 8 out of 10 Cats is like the British version of the show. Countdown. Obviously, for infinite reasons, we can't try to be them. So it's a very different show in some ways, but we're just playing the same games. So don't watch it expecting me to be Jimmy Carr, because I'm not, and you'll only be disappointed.
Do you have a similar laugh to Jimmy Carr? Have you tried to emulate that?
No, I've done a fair bit of tax fraud, obviously.
That's good to hear. That's important.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming on the show, Hing, and thank you once again for not asking if we could jerk off the Hamburglar and how many times we could get him to completion, even though we were all thinking it at the start.
I was thinking at least
three. I don't know about you guys.
The only person I couldn't bring to climax as part of the McDonald's land was probably Grimace, solely because I do not know where his presumed dick or balls.
Yeah, where are Grimace's erogenous zones? A question for another day.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting that you didn't choose Birdie, because that would confuse me.
No, I think I can give Birdie cloaca. A glorious orgasm. Yeah,
see, I don't know what to do with the cloaca.
I would be all over it, dude. I would be on that like white on rice. It would be crazy.
Well, thank you for having me. I've had a great time.
No problem. See you next time.
Anytime.
Hey, dickhead, are you thirsty for more Sans Pants? Let us shoot our long hot ropes of content right into your gaping earholes.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Head to sanspantsradio.com to check out all 26 of our public podcasts and become a member of Sans Pants Plus to check out 20 more bonus shows and bonus feeds. That's sanspantsradio.com.